Greetings, friends. Today we're going to talk about striving with the Holy Spirit, and that means overcoming until the end. In previous programs, we talked about yielding to the Holy Spirit. We talked about embracing the Holy Spirit, and now we're going to talk about striving with the Holy Spirit. And if you notice, the yielding, embracing, striving, the first letters of each of those words spells yes. We have to say yes to the Holy Spirit in order to be the type of people that hold on fast to that which God has given us, and to be overcomers until the end, so that He will give to us the power to rule over nations. That is our destiny, to rule with Jesus Christ over the nations during the 1,000 years of the kingdom of God set up here on earth after Jesus Christ returns at His second coming. That is so exciting. So we need to know how we can say yes to the Holy Spirit. Again, the Y is yielding to God. The E is embracing God. And the S is striving with the Holy Spirit. If you missed our previous programs on the yielding and the embracing, then please log on to our website. And we have our radio programs right there. All you got to do is click on it and it'll start playing for you. Or if you want to read the literature, just click on the literature and you can read it at your leisure. But today we're going to talk about the S in the word yes, which is striving with the Holy Spirit. And that means overcoming until the end. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse 2, and we'll read through to verse 11. This is 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 through 11. As we're reading this, just imagine how Paul is pointing to a great, great destiny. And he's saying, this is how you're going to travel down this road to get to that wonderful, wonderful destiny. That's what he's talking about here. Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's that first part, where Peter is painting this beautiful, beautiful picture for us, saying that God has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given you everything that will help you to achieve your glory. He has given you everything so that you can be partakers of the divine nature. And that divine nature is where we are spirit-composed, eternal children of God who are perfect in love, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, perfect in our use of power. That is such a glorious, glorious destiny. That is worth striving for. And so now he goes on to say in verse 5, that this is how you strive for it. And besides this, what you have to do, knowing what you know, is you have to give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and add to your virtue knowledge, and add to your knowledge self-control, and add to self-control patience, and add to patience godliness, and add to godliness brotherly kindness, and add to brotherly kindness love. If you are diligence, giving all diligence to add these things, to continue to strive with me, to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, if you do all of these things, he's saying in verse 8, if all of these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus the Christ. But on the other hand, now, on the other hand, he that lacks these things is blind. This person can't see afar off. They don't have the vision of the future. They are blind. They cannot see afar off. They've forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And that's a shame, my brothers and sisters, for us to have tasted of the goodness of God and then to turn around and spit it out. That's a shame. He goes back in verse 10 and says, wherefore, the rather being, don't forget these things. Don't be blind. Don't allow yourself to see only the things that are right before you. the physical things. You can't walk by sight. You have to walk by faith, and you have to understand that you have great and exceedingly precious promises ahead of you if you just continue to strive with God. So wherefore the rather, brothers, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. This is the guaranteed way to make sure that you never fall. Is if you, again, read these, if you add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control patience, etc., etc., till you finally get to the point of godly love, agape love. If you do these things, you shall never fall. And so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. My friends, this is such a glorious destiny that we have. And right now it's like we're in training. It's like we're going to university as a grad student being taught by our professor, who's Jesus the Christ. And when we graduate, then we're going to have our PhD degree. We will be the professors, and we'll be able to teach people in the world tomorrow how they can grow in God's grace and knowledge and come to perfection. So right now it's like we're graduate students and we're taking advanced courses. We're in training so that we can become professors. And our training, our courses, have to do with learning about faith and learning about virtue and adding these characteristics to our character until we take on the divine nature, getting rid of the carnal human nature, which is contrary to God's way of life. Instead, we have the divine nature where we love God with all of our heart and mind and soul, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. Now let's go on to the book of Hebrew. This most likely was Paul who wrote the book of Hebrew, and he's telling us the same thing, that we have to strive with God. Let's read this in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And we'll start reading in verse 23. Paul is saying, "Let us hold fast, hold on tight to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." God has promised us something, and he's faithful. He's going to deliver it. All we have to do is hold on fast to what God has given us thus far, which is faith, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the Bible, which is Yeshua himself to live in us. As long as we hold on to the gifts of God, then we're going to receive the promises of God. And he says, one way that you can hold on to these gifts, in verse 24 he says, is that you can consider, take a lot of thought about this, consider one another, consider your brothers and sisters, how you can provoke them to love and to good works. That's how we can hold on fast to what we've been given, is to provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching, as we see the finish line in this race, as we get closer and closer, we should be meeting together more and more so that we can be cheering each other. Come on, you can do it. There's only a few more yards left. Come on, you can do it. The finish line is right there. You can do it. That's how we should be as we assemble ourselves together, whether it be on the Sabbath for Sabbath services or whether it be for Bible study at any other time during the week. We should be getting together. We should be calling one another, thinking about one another, how we can provoke one another to love and to good works. He says in verse 35, "Do not cast away therefore your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After you've run the race, then you'll receive the crown. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come." That finish line is almost there. "He will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into destruction, but we are of those who believe to the saving of the soul." In other words, we're not going to allow ourselves to be knocked off the track, to be knocked down where we say, I've fallen and I can't get up. No, we're not going to be like that. If we do fall down, we've got our friends there to pick us back up, to put us back on the track. We dust ourselves off, and then we get back to running so that we can finish the race. That's what he's talking about. And now in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, continuing with the same thought, he's talked about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, David, and on, these great people of faith. And then in verse 13, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So nobody's in heaven. All right, but that's for another program. But these all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from where they came out, they would have had opportunity to have returned. But their thoughts weren't on that country from which they came out. Their thoughts weren't on just the temporary things of this world. They desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Wherefore God has prepared for them a city, that new Jerusalem, that shall come down out of heaven here to earth. And God has provided the same thing for us who are alive in Christ, so that the dead in Christ, all those who died in faith, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc., all those who died in faith shall be made perfect with us who are alive, and who will be changed in a twinkling of an eye when Jesus Christ returns at the last trump. So everybody is going to inherit the promise of eternal life together when Jesus Christ returns. Continuing now in chapter 12 of Hebrews and verses 1 through 2, Paul continues on, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all of those people of faith, seeing that we're surrounded with a whole great cloud of witnesses, our cheering section, then let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, that trips us, that causes us to get tired as we run around the track. Put aside all of those things, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, if Jesus did it, we can do it. He was the first one to cross the finish line. He was the first one to start, and he crossed it. He set the example, and because he is in us, we can finish the race also. And he was able to do it because of the joy that was set before him. He did not despise even the shame from the cross, but because of the joy that was set before him, receiving the glory of the Father that he had at the beginning, before he came down to this earth, receiving that glory again, and also the joy in knowing that he would bring many other brothers and sisters into that same glory so that we can inherit all things with Christ. Because of that joy, he ran the race, and now he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And don't you want to be there with him? I know I do. So brothers, if we want to be there, sisters, if we want to be there, then we have to strive with God, allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us to finish the race. Well, I'm finished with this program. I hope you'll come back for the next program, and may God be in you.